Thank you for joining me today here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with our state representative here for Holmes County, Mark Heiner. We appreciate you giving us the update. It's been a little while since we heard from you, and you have
been
definitely busy down there.
Yep, there's a lot going on.
So you've got a lot of bills that you're a part of that we're going to kind of touch base on several of them.
Yeah.
And so let's start off. What do you want to talk about first?
So a big one that we worked on primarily, well, it was all last year, was House Bill 59, which is the bill to review occupational licensing in the state. State law requires us, every General Assembly, we have to review a third of the state's licenses that the different agencies issue, make sure they're appropriate, that the fees charged are appropriate, and make sure that they're, you know, serving a useful purpose. And, you know, we've done that. Representative Fowler Arthur and I led the charge on that. There's a lot of time. You got to hear a lot of testimony. You got to talk to all these different agencies. Just very time intensive, which kept me from working on some other things I wanted to. But it's all okay. It's good stuff. We'll get to that. That's all coming. Those things are still coming. They just got delayed. So we got that voted out of the House last November, and it's over at the Senate. They are working on it now. Now the charge is, Rep. Fowler Arthur and I, you know, met with the senator that's mm-hmm. that's carrying it in her committee, talked about what our goals were, and, you know, so now we've got to get it through the Senate side, and they'll probably take the whole year mm-hmm. to go through it, because they're doing the same stuff we did, meeting with the same agencies, having the same discussions, kind of double checking our work, make sure we didn't get anything wrong. They'll put their spin on it too. I'm sure they'll make some changes to what we gave them, which is fine. We wanted some more. We reduced a lot of different things. Almost everyone in the medical industry got some changes. We reduced some of the fees for radon testing. I think we eliminated one of their licenses. There was a lot of work done to try to reduce bureaucracy and red tape.
That's always good to hear, to reduce those. And it's a shame you and the Senate can't just do this process together and save some time.
Well, it's kind of designed, the way they designed it when they started doing this, and this is the fourth time we've done it. So every agency's been through it once. This is the second pass for the ones that we reviewed this year. The intention was that the House would take the first year of the General Assembly to do their review, and then the Senate would take the second year to do theirs. The intention is to drag it out a little bit, to take time. It's mm-hmm. I like when government moves slowly. I think we do a better job of getting it right when we move slowly. When we do things in a hurry, we generally make mistakes. So I don't really have a problem with the process. I think it's okay. There are some things I think we could tweak. The bill gets sent to the General Government Committee in the House, and they were already overloaded with a bunch of other bills mm-hmm. that they were working on. It was a lot for them to take on. We've had some conversations with leadership about maybe doing it a little differently for the next General Assembly. We think maybe it makes sense to just create a committee temporarily just to deal with this bill.
Right.
Because it is such a big bill, and there is so mm-hmm. much to it. And then you can put people on that committee that are passionate about reviewing this stuff. And there's a lot of people that are, but the General Government Committee, that's really not their focus.
Right.
But the bill's got to get assigned to somewhere, and that was the most logical
place. And that's just where they got trucked.
Yeah, and it just was bad timing because they were busy with a bunch of other mm-hmm. things. So we may see that change in the next General Assembly. Another one that I am working on specifically is House Bill 284. We already have law that requires prioritization of American-made steel when mm-hmm. you're building a project. So when the state of Ohio builds a bridge, they've got to try to buy those steel bridge beams mm-hmm. from an American-made manufacturer, preferably one in Ohio if there is one.
Right.
We're expanding that to include iron, which is, you know, ductile water pipe
and those sorts of things. And they're two very separate but very similar things.
Correct. We've had a number of hearings in committee on it. We've made a bunch of changes to accommodate industry and state government, the Facilities Commission that has to buy a lot of these products to build mm-hmm. projects in the state, had some concerns. Theirs are primarily focused around cost containment, which is, I'm all about mm-hmm. that. trying to control costs wherever we can. So that bill is progressing on through, and we'll get that passed out this year. The next one is House Bill 332. That one has passed and is on it. It's over at the Senate for their review. It created a small defense business linked deposit program. That's a mouthful. I'll try to explain it. We already have a linked deposit program for agriculture, and it's been mm-hmm. very popular. It's worked very well. What this does is if you've got a defense contractor mm-hmm. that's maybe a startup, or they're expanding their capabilities to help supply another contractor in the state, and they need access to capital, and those industries have trouble borrowing money just because right. of the nature of what they do. So what this does is it allows the state treasurer to deposit money. So say a business needs to borrow $1 million. The treasurer can go purchase a certificate of deposit at a local bank. Mm-hmm. They get the state gets a reduced interest rate.
Right.
The difference is credited to the borrower. So the defense borrower gets a lower interest rate. The bank accepts the risk. If the borrower defaults, the state still gets their money back. Mm-hmm. So there's no risk to the taxpayers. And it allows that bank to give a better interest rate to that defense borrower and get them doing what they need to do. That's important with the addition or the arrival of Anduril down mm-hmm. in Pickaway County. There is going to be massive expansion of companies that supply them.
They need their parts.
Correct. They, you know, every manufacturer's got suppliers that bring them the parts and pieces they need mm-hmm. to build their products. We're trying to help streamline that so those people locate here in Ohio instead of another state. Anduril came here from California. There will be companies that'll mm-hmm. follow them
right.
eventually.
Because they're a huge.
Correct. And I've met with them. They have got big plans for expansion in Ohio. They're going to be a big employer in the state of Ohio as time goes on. And that's great for Ohio. That'll generate a lot of tax revenue to help pay for the things we want to spend money on.
And so those are some of the first three that we've chatted on. You've got quite a few more. But let's go ahead, take a little break here before I give you time to breathe, give you guys time to process, and we'll be back with State Representative Mark Heiner. We got all kinds of stuff coming up, some fun bills you got going on. We're back here on WKLM with State Representative Mark Heiner. I am Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and we talked about a few of the bills that you are involved with to kick things off, and that's not all you're involved with. You've been busy trying to help get some sensible bills through the State House.
You know, since you brought that up, you end up not just working on the bills that you bring forward as sponsor, you end up getting involved in other people's too.
Right.
Because somebody will introduce a piece of legislation that maybe it affects your district in a negative way. I mean, we get that here because,
right.
you know,
we're different.
We're so unique in Holmes County with the Amish community here. People may introduce things that may affect them in a negative way. They just don't think about it because
they
live in Cincinnati and there's no Amish down there, so they don't have any idea. And, you know, that bill comes along and I see it and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's going to be bad for Holmes County. So, you know, then you need to go have a conversation with that representative and try to make changes. And, you know, and more often than not, when you tell somebody that you know, there's a problem they didn't anticipate, they go, oh, we didn't know. You know, we'll make changes to accommodate. Almost everyone is mm-hmm. generally willing to work out disputes. The whole goal is when you get it to the floor for a vote that everybody wants to vote yes.
Right.
That's
what you want.
Happen.
No.
Doesn't always happen.
That's the goal.
But that's your goal. Sometimes you achieve it and sometimes you don't. But it's, you know, the process really works pretty well. There's lots of opportunities for everyone to have input. And I guess I'll offer this out too. You know, any citizen can comment on these bills. If there's something you're aware of that you're concerned about, either for or against, you know, call my office. We'll help you submit the testimony. It's not difficult to do. You can do it in writing. You can come to Columbus and do it in person if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But You know, we'll if you don't want to do that, you can submit written testimony. We'll help you do it. We did it for a couple of people in Knox County a few weeks ago. There was a bill that they did not like. They were very opposed to it. And I said, you know, would you be willing to testify? And they
say
both
why?
Did. They weren't able to come down, but they both put it in writing and we helped them submit it. And their comments are entered into the record and considered as part of the bill as it moves forward.
And it's good to have that because
absolutely.
While you as representatives are representing the people, you can't know what That's every constituent in your district
correct.
Is dealing with
correct.
And
yep.
how that may affect them.
Correct. And I'll, you know, and we'll get the instance I just laid out was a bill that I'm in favor of. They were opposed to.
Okay.
And the conversation started with, you know, with an angry phone call, you know, I'm upset with you because you're in favor of this. And so, well, that's fine.
Why?
You know, I explained why, but, you know, it's
well,
still.
Well, no, like, why are you against this? You know, explain to me. Oh,
well, sure.
I'll understand.
And you know, but, you know, and I told them, like, well, that's fine, but, you know, you can testify too. And, you know, mm-hmm. It wasn't my bill, so I didn't testify personally, but I had just co-sponsored it, but. You know, they got to chime in and explain why they thought it was a bad idea. And that's the way the system is supposed mm-hmm. to work. It's government of the people, by the people, for the people.
So taking that opportunity to be part of that process
yeah.
is
yep.
part of your
yep.
being a American citizen.
Yep, absolutely.
So, speaking of bills and taking
yeah.
pardon, you got some more.
Oh, yeah, we got lots of stuff going on.
You have some more.
House Bill 454 would create a state government efficiency commission.
Government and efficiency in the same sentence seems
laughable. Yeah, I know. It's an oxymoron.
Laughable.
Yeah, it is. And I don't have high hopes for this bill going anywhere. There's been a lot of controversy with it.
But you got to try.
Well, it's... You know, I guess the point we're trying to make, Representative Matthews, Ty Matthews from Findlay area is the joint sponsor on it with me. Our frustration is there's a lot of silly stuff that goes on in government.
What?
And yeah, crazy, isn't it? You see a lot of this fraud that goes on and things of that nature. And someone should be flagging that and trying to eliminate it. And the argument is there are... other processes already in place that should be doing that.
But they're not.
And that's our argument. They're not. So I don't like adding to the bureaucracy. And that's my struggle with this. We're adding another layer of bureaucracy. I don't like that. But
it's trying to hit the fraud, which is
somebody,
a big problem.
Somebody has got to identify these things and call them out and get them fixed. If we can find another way to do that through one of the existing methods, that's fine. I don't care how we do it, just as long as we get it done. But it's frustrating to me that, you know, a lot of these silly things that we spend money on, gotta stop doing it.
Exactly. So on another opposite end of the spectrum note, a bill you've kind of been working on for a while and it keeps
evolving.
It keeps evolving because there's parts you didn't know are all in the same effect with it, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right. It started, it's House Bill 514. It started, we had a situation over in Mount Vernon where we had a registered sex offender convicted of a child offense that had one of the little
library boxes
on his lawn. And it turns out there's nothing in law that prevents him from doing that. Well, that just seems ridiculous
to
me.
That's a little sketch.
I got phone calls from a couple of angry moms that became aware of it and they wanted to know what we could do. And I talked to our prosecutor and they said, well, the law really doesn't give us anything to go deal with it until he creates an offense. And that's not the answer. We're not going to wait for him to lure a child onto their lawn. Yeah. So I introduced this bill. Then after it was introduced, one of the cities in my district asked for a change in the law to greater restrict the records request rules on video camera footage at swimming pools.
Which is a bunch of kids in little to no, very little
kids
clothing.
Kids in maybe an ex-girlfriend, scantily mm-hmm. dressed because she's at the swimming pool. You know, I have trouble imagining these scenarios because I don't think this way, but
right?
There are people that do.
And it shouldn't.
Yeah, it's a legitimate concern. So we amended that language into it. since then, we've had a gentleman that has come to us that this guy's just living in his home, minding his own business.
No clue what for nothing.
Exactly. And a guy that's a sex offender goes and registers himself at this guy's address. Has no relationship to the sex offender
there,
at all.
Nothing.
Correct. No connection to this person.
The guy has no clue who he is.
Right. But this guy has used his address and registered there. Well, that triggers the sheriff's office sends notification to all your neighbors. So this guy's, you know, his neighbors are all going, hey, what's going on at your house? Well, nothing's going on at his house, but this guy's, you
lying.
Know, incorrectly, you know, use his address. Well, turns out there's not anything they can do about that either. So
and there
we're
needs
gonna,
to be something.
We're
going to
amend it again to accommodate for that. And because the guy that, the offender that used the wrong address needs to be sitting in front of the judge again and having a conversation with the judge about his behavior.
150%. So it all deals with the potential of sex offenders and your pedophiles
it's
and all that.
It's all related stuff. You try to keep Bill's focused on one topic.
And that kind of all is part of the same beast.
I don't like to do one bill for one item. It's if you can put multiple things in there, it's helpful.
This is all going to affect a lot of the same set of people.
Right. So as long as that stuff keeps coming at us, we'll keep adding it into this bill. But eventually we're going to need to run it through committee and get it heard and get it passed into law.
Right. Longer it waits.
That should happen.
We're coming
on
to summer and blah.
The next one has turned out to be a fairly big one. It's House Bill 563. It deals with ticket sales and ticket fraud. And if you remember, several years ago, there was a big brouhaha with a Taylor Swift concert. There were people selling tickets that didn't exist and people charging the wrong price for tickets.
It's a huge problem.
It is.
And Taylor Swift exposed it, but it's been going on for a long time.
And I've never had this happen to me. I've never had trouble with it. Now, my wife and I don't buy a lot of tickets. We don't go to a lot of concerts anymore. When we introduced this bill, the floodgates opened and people started calling me saying, oh yeah, we've had trouble with this. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked at how many people have had problems. So it turns out it was timely. It kind of was triggered by the Columbus Area Performing Arts Organization. They run the Palace Theater and the State Theater and all that. They run a lot of venues in Columbus. And they will have people show up at an event with a ticket that they, you know, bought online. They thought it was from a reliable vendor. And turns out it's fraudulent. So now you've got this patron standing here.
Thinking
they're going to the show. They've gone to dinner. They've dressed up. They might have their family with them. You know, whatever the situation is. And they're standing there with a ticket that turns out to be fraudulent. Well, what CAPA does is they hold back a section of seats that they don't sell.
Just in case.
So they will admit those people to the show. But so it solves that immediate problem, but still a problem.
It is.
Somebody got the money for the ticket that they shouldn't have. CAPA didn't get it. The patron didn't get the seat they tried to buy.
Which could have been a really good seat.
Which might have been a front row seat, but now they're sitting in the back row of the balcony. Mm-hmm. But at least they're in seeing the event. So, you know, this bill is trying to fix that. It puts some limitations on selling tickets that don't exist, selling the same ticket twice. It's just trying to put a fence around some of these practices. It is not going to solve all of it. One of the problems with this is people go out and create fake websites for these different venues that are selling tickets.
And they're just a hair different.
Yep, they'll change a letter in a word or something. It's just different enough, but you do a Google search and you stumble on it.
The Ohio Star Theater had issues last year with that.
Yep.
Right here.
It's a problem everywhere. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this will help. But, you know, I've told everybody it's a game of whack-a-mole. Bad guys never go away. They just resurface someplace else. You know, whatever it is, this law ends up being by the time we pass it, they'll adjust and they'll look for loopholes and they'll find another way. They won't stop. They'll keep doing it. But I won't stop either. We'll keep making changes as needed, as they adapt and try to stay on top of it. We introduced it, and we had some meetings with the interested parties, some mm-hmm. of the ticket resellers and Live Nation Ticketmaster. We have had several meetings with them, making changes and adjustments. We've made changes to make it more match federal law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's consistency there. And we got a lot of that done before it ever got to committee for a hearing. So worked out really well. Yeah, it's worked out really well. Everyone's been very cooperative. We will get this passed this year. You know, hopefully it has the intended effect and helps solve some of the problems.
Well, I know with the concert I went to in September, the ticket I got started out well over $700. And actually it started out saying everything was sold out.
Right.
Then they would pop up in that couple tickets here, a couple tickets there. Oh, look, we've got this, but it's $700. And that's more than I pay for my house payment.
Right.
Like,
right.
I can't justify that.
Right.
But I got it for a little over two in the end.
Because
I bought it the day of the concert, 3 hours before the concert.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got a better deal because it was last
minute. They had to make it go.
To be clear, this the bill I am working on will not affect the pricing. And that's been a concern from a lot of people. And my preference is to let the market decide what the price should be. And there've been
a lot of it is scalpers buying them and reselling them.
Some of the concern, there's people out there that just want to restrict the resale of tickets. Well, so if you bought the ticket to that event, well, something happens, you get sick and you can't go. You don't want the seat to be empty. You want to be able to give that to a friend and let someone else go in your place. I don't have a problem with that as long as it's done fairly and legally.
But what you're doing will kind of help some of this because these places can't buy these tickets and sell them.
The trouble now is you've got resellers that are selling you a ticket that they don't have possession of yet. They may be selling more than one of the same ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that someone will back out at the last minute or something, those things have got to stop. They've got to not be able to do that.
So that's very important to get through for any of our concert going listeners.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to take another break here. We're kind of giving you a little time to process all the bills that Mark's sending through. That is your state representative, Mark Heiner. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. Hopping back on here with State Representative Mark Heiner, we've talked about six different bills that you've worked with. We've got some more to discuss here. Thanks for joining with us today to kind of go over some of this so people know what you're doing. So if they want to make these comments and do any testimony, they know what you're working on.
Yep.
And you still have more. But wait, there's
wait,
more.
There's more. So House Bill 684 is a tricky one. It's an attempt to change the way we elect our educational service board members for our what is essentially a countywide school district. We had a situation in the last election where we realized if you are in a local or exempted village school district, you get a representative. You are able to vote on a representative for your ESC board. If you live in a local school district, you can't. So the reason for that goes back a long ways. A district the size of Columbus City School District, they don't need an ESC. They're big enough that they've got all the resources they need.
They don't
need the help. So the law was changed to allow big districts like that to exempt out if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble is you get, Mount Vernon City School District, they're still pretty small by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
They need the help. So they are able to participate on a contract basis, but they are not able to vote on members.
Who's on the board?
On the board. Well, for me, that's you don't have representation.
Right.
We fought a war about that 250 years ago. For me, that's
kind
a problem.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So we're trying to change that so that every school district will vote on who those representatives are. My preference is that each school district will have a representative from within that school district on the board. That became problematic when we learned that the Northeast Ohio ESC has 48 school districts in it.
That would be a really big board.
That would be a really big board, and that would be like herding cats. So we're trying to figure out how to manage that and make that workable. And we will. We'll find a solution to it. But we just want to make that process more transparent. There are some problems with the ESCs notifying the county boards of elections when members change and those sorts of things. There's a lot of appointments on those boards because people aren't aware of them. They really don't understand what they do. Yeah, and that's I'm hoping we can do some education to change that, because they do. Most of them fill a pretty serious and needed role. They provide. I've had conversations with a lot of school districts and say, you know, could you live without your ESC? And they say, oh no, we could not provide those services more cost effectively than they do. So, you know, if they're able to do it better and cheaper, we want to keep that going. But you know, I want to have more transparency in the election process.
For sure, that's. You know, helping people understand who they're elected for is always who they're electing is always a good idea.
Yep.
Try to do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And so then there's one that, you know, you can kind of take a little close to heart coming up as well.
Yeah, House Bill 697. It could very well affect WKLM at some point in the future.
Very well. We're keeping an eye.
There's been what this bill does, it ensures that a local broadcast station has got access to cover high school sports.
Because they're trying to take it away.
What's happening? Well, I wouldn't say they're trying to take it away, but what's happening is
the big guys are being big.
There are companies that go do deals with the OHSAA that regulates the high school sports, and some of them are exclusive. So they've got exclusive rights to cover some of these games. There are a lot of things, particularly in playoff season, where you've got to subscribe to a streaming service to be able to watch a game that your kid may be playing in. Mm-hmm. Maybe in your own backyard, in your community.
Well, there are times where we can't video live. We can do the replay.
Right.
Or we can only do radio.
And my problem with this, these are public high schools paid for with taxpayer dollars. So I've got a problem.
And then your local radio is probably offering it for free.
Correct. And they certainly are. There's no meter on a radio. There's no place to swipe your credit card on the radio. So it for me, that's a problem. And I want to make sure that you have a way to hear those games. There have been some problems where the exclusive providers, it's not here in this area, it's other parts of the state, but there are some problems where these companies will exercise their right to exclusively cover a game, but then they don't show up to cover the game. And that's a massive problem.
And now nobody's covering the game.
Nobody's covering it. So the kids don't get exposure. The school doesn't get exposure. It's just less than
the parents
ideal.
Who can't make it can't, you
Correct.
Know, catch it. And
Correct.
So, when they thought they could.
So it's, you know, we're working this through committee. You know, we'll be making some changes, I'm sure, as it moves along. But the goal is to make sure that you've got access to those local sporting events.
Yeah, well, that one's a little near and dear here.
Yeah, and we've seen this in college sports where some of these games are put behind paywalls. Ohio, mm-hmm. Some of the Ohio State games are on Peacock. You've got to subscribe to Peacock to be able to see them. That's where we're headed with high school,
which should not be. It's high school.
I agree, and that's why I'm trying to head this off at the pass before we get there.
That's good.
And then if we get this done, then we'll maybe look at doing it for college too. Because for me, it's the same argument. Ohio State University is
a
public
university.
A lot of that's paid for with tax dollars. Now they generate a lot of their own revenue. I will give them that, but it's still a state-owned university. And I don't like that they're putting stuff behind paywalls.
Yeah, no. Not at all.
Yep.
All right, well, do we want to go ahead and talk coming attractions, or do you got more stuff you're working on? We know what's coming.
Let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Property taxes. You have dropped your first part.
Yep, I have. There are two parts to this.
Not dropped bad, but like dropped into, hey, look, it exists.
Yeah, that's what, you know, we maybe should explain the terminology. When we introduce a bill down in Columbus at the clerk's office, we call it dropping the bill. I don't know where that came from, but I guess
probably because they had a big stack of something.
Somebody probably went in and dropped it on the desk and said, "Here it is." So at any rate, this is House Joint Resolution number 7. If this gets approved in the House and Senate, this would go on the ballot in November before the voters to decide whether this gets enacted or not. What it would do is it would eliminate property tax on an owner-occupied home.
So that means where you're living, if you're living there and
where
you
you're
own
living,
it.
And that's it. The rest of it would stay in place.
So if you're all a landlord.
All the commercial portion, CAUV for farmers, all that remains. On the farming portion, if you have a home on the farm, your home plus 1 acre would get exempted. You would no longer pay tax on that. You would still pay tax on your farm at the existing CAUV rate. So farmers will get relief as well. It won't be entirely wiped out. The premise is you're making money with your farm, which you may or may not be.
Right.
But that's the premise. And again, this is going to go through the process. This is not, this has been assigned to General Government Committee. I have asked the chairwoman to not hold hearings for it yet until we get the second half done. The second bill will explain where the money's going to come from.
It's like an accompanying bill.
Yes. And the second one would be contingent on the first, so it would not take effect unless the first one gets passed by the voters. That's by design, so we're not changing law without the tax relief. So what we're doing right now is we are looking for different places where we can find money to cover the revenue that would be lost by the property tax to continue to fund the local services so that everyone is kept whole. So if we abolish property tax entirely, that's $24 billion.
Gone.
That all that funds your local fire department, EMS, part of your county, your townships, parks, libraries, schools. The biggest percentage of it goes to schools.
Correct.
60 to 65, depending on where you live. What I'm trying to do is get rid of the tax on your home, if you own it and you live there, but not destroy the local services. So the residential portion we're going to eliminate is about $10 billion. So it's a lot less money to find.
Fine. And easier to finagle around.
Correct.
Because what's also coming through is a petition from the people to just abolish with no plan.
Correct.
To where it's just going to be willy-nilly, fix it now in the time before the bill takes effect, 90 days. And
you're not even 90
not
days.
Not even. Is it 60?
It would take effect January 1st, 2027.
Okay, so not even 90 days.
So yeah.
Boom.
A little less than 2 months, we would have to come up with a solution.
Y'all ain't going to do that.
And we haven't found a solution in the last 30 years, so I don't know why anybody thinks we'll find it
in
2 months.
In a month and a half.
right.
So this gives, okay, here's some right. removal, here's some replacement,
and I've gotten a lot of response from constituents that say, well, you know, getting rid of the property tax is great, but we cannot destroy the local services.
We need a plan.
Right. There needs to be a plan. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get rid of the tax on your home, but explain to you how we'll pay for it. So if you want to go vote for that, you can do that and you'll understand this is what's going to happen. These other fees and taxes will change.
Because when you buy your home, you're already pay your tax when you buy it. You shouldn't lose your home because of not being able to pay property taxes.
I do agree with the premise that you should not lose your home from not paying taxes.
You've paid for it.
It's your home.
You've done your dues.
It's your home.
And then some because of interest.
The government should not be able to take your home for any reason. When I originally ran, part of my platform was trying to work to get rid of the income tax. As time has gone on and this property tax has become a bigger and bigger problem, I think I had it backwards. I'd still like to get rid of the income tax, but I don't.
Property tax is a bigger bear right now.
I don't believe we can get rid of both. We're going to have to keep one of them. And I think the income tax is less intrusive. So
right.
I've shifted focus for a moment. see if we can solve this property tax problem. We get that done, then we'll come back, revisit income tax and how we might be able to do that. But, you know, the premise that, you know, we'll just make cuts, there are a lot of things we can cut. There's not $24 billion we can cut.
And it will make you look at things, but 2 months is not enough time.
Correct.
And everything will lose.
And I tell everyone, every change we make has got a consequence that you need to consider and try to figure out what the impact will be.
Cause and reaction.
Exactly. No matter how we do this, there will be an effect somewhere that will affect someone in a negative way. And you know, we need to try to think through that and minimize it as much as we can. But the reality is it will happen. So you know, I want to try to do it in as responsible a way as we can. We're working on the second bill right now. The goal is to introduce it early May when we return after the election. At that point, I will ask the chairwoman of the General Government Committee to go ahead and hold hearings for it. That'll be a big deal. I'm sure that'll be in the media everywhere across the state, I would imagine, when that happens.
Hopefully.
And you know, I've told everyone I'm not married to any of this. You know, this needs to be a statewide discussion of how we do this. So my hope is that that committee comes with ideas and changes and ways to make it better. It may look nothing like it does when I submit it, and that's okay. I don't care as long as we find something that everyone can agree on that'll be good for the voters and the taxpayers.
And that's what's important.
Correct.
Well, whew.
that is a monumental change. Every state has a property tax today. We would be the first ones to eliminate it. North Dakota tried and failed. Michigan is trying, but it looks like they're going to fail. Florida is talking about it. I don't think they're going to get it done. I've heard mixed messages out of Florida.
There's one camp.
I know. There's one camp that thinks they're going to get it, and then there's another that says there's no way. So they're big changes, and they will affect people's lives in a lot of ways. And we need to think through it as carefully as we can to make sure we get it right.
Because we want to make it affect their lives in a good way.
Correct.
Not, rah!
Right. Right. The last thing I want to do is make this change and, you know, fix a problem for one set of voters, but create problems for another.
And then your phone blow up because, hey.
Well, I don't care about the phone blowing up.
I'm
worried about affecting people's lives. I'm worried about someone not being able to pay their bills or, you know, put food on their table. You know, we need to be very careful about how we do this to make sure that doesn't happen to someone.
Exactly. Well, you've been working very hard on that. That's been the hot topic is property taxes, housing, all of that. And it's good that somebody's finally trying to provide a solution.
Yeah. And I've introduced my concept. There's nothing else in the House at this point. Senator Blessing on the Senate side has introduced a resolution similar to mine. His is Senate Joint Resolution number 7. They both have the same number for some reason.
They did it on purpose.
His would. There's no conspiracy. It's just depends on who shows up when at the clerk's office. His resolution would only tax land and not the improvements on it. And he's got some arguments that some of them make sense for why that would be good. But at the end of the day, they can still take your home if you don't pay the tax.
Exactly.
And that's my problem. That's where I have trouble. So he and I have talked. We are continuing to talk. There are some other people involved in what I'm working on. Representative Lear from the other side of Knox County is part of it. Senator Brenner is part of it. He's working on a school funding bill that would change the way school funding works. We're trying to see if we can find a way to merge the two concepts together.
Marry it.
Right. And do it all at once. I don't know if we'll get there or not, but we're trying. And there's a representative from Ashtabula County, David Thomas, is a former auditor. He has led the charge on a lot of the tax relief
bills.
You'll
recognize his name very easily.
Yeah.
We're not talking Wendy's here.
No, correct. but he's involved in it as well. And we all think we can make this work. We think there's a path. The policy teams from the House and the Senate are involved. They're a little skeptical still, but they're starting to...
That's their job to be skeptical.
No, it is. It is. And they're helping us, and we're making progress, and I think we'll get there. I think we'll have a concept that we can if I can get enough support, we can put before the voters and let them decide what they want to do.
So anybody listening that's not in your district, call your person and have them talk to you.
I mean, I would encourage anyone, if you're not in the immediate area, obviously I'm on board with the concept because I'm pushing it, but
it's yours. But yeah, if you're not in Holmes, Knox, or Coshocton, call up your representative.
I've gotten a lot of positive comments from other representatives about the idea. Mm-hmm. Of course, they want to see the rest of the details, and we're right. working on that. So, you know, I don't know whether I got to, in order to pass the resolution, governor has nothing to do with it. It's all House and Senate, but we got to have super majority. So I got to have 60 votes in the House, and I think 24 in the Senate. I think I'll have them in the Senate. I don't think that'll be difficult. It may be difficult to do in the House.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be up to me to try to sell it. And
if you're curious, call his office to see.
Yeah, absolutely. If you got any good ideas on where we can find some money in the state of Ohio's couch cushions, by all means, call and share. We're going through everything right now. The goal is to try to find things that don't affect people on a daily basis.
Right.
And, you know, and there's some things that are simple that we'll put in there. We've identified about $7.5 billion of the 10 so far. We got 2.5 to go. And honestly, we've found the easy stuff. The rest of it's going to be hard. So
it'll take a little more fine tuning.
We're going to have to dig deep to find it, but I'm trying to stay away from food, you know, trying to stay away from things that affect, you know, I've said like, no gas tax. We're not increasing the gas tax any. I don't want to do that. We're just trying to find things that don't affect people on a daily basis.
Well, that's good. Good luck to you.
Yep.
We're hoping we'll to see that soon.
We'll get it. We'll find it.
All right, we're going to take one last little break here, then we'll come back for a little preview of coming attractions with your state representative, Mark Heiner. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And we are here for a preview of coming attractions with your state representative, Mark Heiner. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And we've talked about what you're doing, what you're currently working on. But you guys, you got some stuff coming down the pipe yet.
There's always stuff in the pipeline that we're thinking about and working on.
Kind of trying to tinker with.
Have a conversation with someone, and, you know, constituent may say, you know, I really wish, you know, we could do such and such. And
how it's going to collectively
affect. Yeah, sometimes you got to think about it a little while and figure out how you could go about doing it.
It's like any other idea. You got to hit on it, and then you got to walk away from it.
Couple of these are pretty simple. This first one is something that's been bugging me for quite a while.
And it should. So, we talked about this off air ahead of time. So it should bug you.
When you pull into the parking garage at the Capitol, you drive past a row of EV chargers for electric vehicles, and there's always full. There's always a car at every charger, and I wondered, you know, who pays for that electric to charge those cars? And I started doing a little research.
You're not going to like the answer, folks.
You, the taxpayers, are paying for it.
Boo.
Yeah. And I, you know, looked around for a gas pump that I could fill my truck up with, and I never found one.
Rude.
So, yeah, well, shouldn't be one
shouldn't
of those either. So.
But if they're getting that.
Correct. Well, it turns out, you know, in the research we've done, these things are scattered all over the state. You'll find them on university campuses and state-owned property and all kinds of places.
All being paid for by the taxpayers.
All being paid for by the taxpayers. So we're going to introduce.
There's where some of that savings can come from.
We're going to introduce legislation to end that practice. I don't have a problem with the charger being there.
Right.
But there needs to be a card reader on it, and you need to plug your card in there
and pay for
what you're using, and it somehow it needs to the cost of that needs to be factored into it somehow. The taxpayers should not be paying for charging stations for people
because it's more than just the politicians parking there at the state house.
Well, I don't care who's parking there.
It's all kinds of people, and we're paying for it.
The taxpayers should not be paying to charge your vehicle.
Not at all.
No.
Boo.
That's got to stop.
Yes.
So, and I And I'm looking forward to introducing that.
Yeah, you're gonna get some hissing.
Well, there's always somebody opposed to a bill.
Always.
But how are you going to oppose that?
And who are you going to be that's going to do it?
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that, to see who the opponents are, because they're people I'm going to want to sit down and have a discussion with. Something else kind of along those lines that's always bothered me for many years is,
and I never realized it,
every time we have an election, all the names on the signs across the state change. Every ODOT depot, every sign at the border into the state, you know, says, you know, welcome to Ohio, Mike DeWine, governor. That's ridiculous. We need to stop doing that. So we're just
building their ego.
So I'm going to introduce a bill to stop that practice.
It's a ton of savings, though.
They're trying. I've got the research team trying to come up with a number, but it has to be millions of dollars.
Those signs aren't cheap. Repainting vehicles aren't cheap.
And they're everywhere. Every state park, every ODOT build, every state-owned building. They're everywhere. I don't think we should be doing that. I'm going to try to stop it. I don't know if I'll get it anywhere.
Anything with the governor's name, every 8 years we're changing it.
Yes.
Because they can only be in office for eight years.
8 years for sure.
For sure.
Maybe every four. Right, depending on how elections go.
Rah.
Yeah, yeah. The last one is, this is early in the stages of development, but I've learned that there are a lot of problems in the foster care system.
What?
Yeah, hard to believe. Some of the things these kids are put through and some of the things that the parents do are just unacceptable. And I've come to realize that we're incentivizing some of this bad behavior on the part of parents, and that needs to stop. They need to pay a price if they're handing their kids over to the taxpayers to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on how to go about it, and we've had some meetings already, and we'll have some more. I'm talking to a couple of other representatives. One of them is Jody Salvo from Tuscarawas County. She may be the joint sponsor on it with me. We're working through all these things, trying to figure out what all we want to tackle and how far we want to go with it. But, you know, the number of kids in foster care is climbing exponentially.
Incredibly fast.
Yeah. And that's just not acceptable.
Not at all.
That's got to stop. And it saddens me that any kid has got to be put into
the care of the state.
Every kid ought to have a loving home. I have trouble understanding all this stuff because I grew up in a house with two parents, never didn't have a meal, always had a roof over my head. And I understand that a lot of people aren't that way, that's not everyone's situation. But, you know, we need to fix this in any way we can to make it better. And we're gonna work to try to do that. So that's coming soon, hopefully.
Preview of coming attractions.
Yep.
This is what you see before the video starts back in the VHS days, where you couldn't just hit skip to go through it.
You know, and I would, you know, while we're talking to your listeners, you know, if you've got a problem, or you think there's a law we could make better, or a law we need to get rid of, or a law we need to create.
Realistically.
Well, I don't, maybe even unrealistically.
It might trigger something.
Yeah. I don't hesitate to call my office and let us know. I will take a look at anything. I kind of joke with people all the time. That ticket bill, it stirred up a lot of controversy. And I said, you know, I kind of stuck my head in a bee's nest with that. And honestly, I don't mind doing that. It's part of the job. You know, a challenge doesn't bother me. You know, I'm willing to tackle anything if it makes sense. And I'm not very good at saying no, so if you've got an idea, you know, call my office with it. We'll take a look, see if we can do something.
Or if you just have an issue that you need help in this office.
Sure.
Don't be
afraid.
You
have trouble with a state agency, even a federal, we can't help you directly with a federal agency, but we can connect you with someone who can. And we're more than happy to do that.
And how do you reach your office?
Phone number in my office in Columbus is area code 614-466-2994. You can reach me at email at rep98@ohiohouse.gov.
Well, thanks so much for joining with us, giving us an update. It's always good to find out what you're doing. And if somebody has a problem with one of the bills we've talked about, definitely give him a ring or an email.
Absolutely.
And talk to him. But We always appreciate...
Or any bill for that matter.
Any of them. Yeah, we talked about one beforehand that I had seen that isn't one of yours that I let you know about. So we enjoy the updates and knowing what's going on down there because we can't be down there and it's hard to follow. So it's good to have that nice little summary.
Yep. Happy to do it.
That was your State Representative Mark Heiner. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM.